listening to the She Means Profit podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA, business strategist, author of Cash Confident, and a Forbes.com contributor. She Means Profit is a podcast dedicated to helping startup, brick and mortar, and product-based business owners just like you become a master in your business without confusion so that you can increase your profit and make more money. With over 20 years of experience working with business owners, I'm sharing with you real and actionable advice that will give you the tools for business success. Let's make some major money moves together. Today, we are speaking with Dina Segal, who is the Chief Legal Officer at Gusto, which is the number one rated HR platform for payroll, benefits, and more. Dina is an executive leader, seasoned public and private company lawyer, and strategic advisor with extensive experience in end-to-end product counseling, regulatory analysis, and complex commercial transactions in high-growth tech, regulatory, and fintech sectors. Hi, Dina. Welcome to the She Means Profit podcast. I am so excited to have you here with us today.
Hi, Melissa. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. Excited to have the conversation.
Yes. And it's such an important conversation because I know for a lot of my clients, and I'm sure for a lot of listeners, payroll is, it's often an area where there's a lot of questions. And before we get started, before we jump into it, I would love for you to give an overview on what you do at Gusto and how you help people.
Absolutely. Thanks, Melissa. And I always love this question because it's so simple and complex all at the same time. So I'm Chief Legal Officer at Gusto. And a little bit about Gusto, we provide a cloud-based payroll and benefits, human resources, solutions for small and medium-sized businesses. So what does that mean? Our mission is to create a world where work empowers a better life. We're trying to really meet small businesses where they are and make the most complicated business tasks more simple, more personal. So we're doing that by reimagining things like payroll and benefits for small businesses. I can also say I'm a mother myself of three little kids, and I'm a wife and a daughter and a sister of entrepreneurs. I think my entire life, going back as far back as I can remember, I've had entrepreneurs and small business owners in my personal family, in my community, in my life. And it's been just a really exciting part to be part of that journey with so many people. So really excited today to really talk about small businesses and things that are most top of mind as you're building and starting a business, a really exciting moment for people.
Absolutely. So it's great that you come from that entrepreneurial background. So you know how important it is to have like a payroll software system that is going to help you save time and energy and confusion in your business. I mean, we all business owners know that we're wearing multiple hats and payroll can be like the least, let me just say, sexy part of running a business. A lot of entrepreneurs don't like to spend a lot of time in there. So what is it that Gusto offers? Because I was looking at the website and I see there's a really great menu of products and features that are offered. And I don't think a lot of payroll services offer as much as Gusto does.
Thanks for that question, Melissa. So I want to even take a step back before I dig into what you mentioned as well. You mentioned about things being the sexy things as you start a business. You are totally right. Probably most small businesses, there are some, but most small businesses don't start thinking about, well, how am I going to calculate and deal with my taxes or my filings? How am I going to become a huge tax expert or payroll expert or benefits expert? Mm-hmm. But it is the reality of growing a business. And I would say in a way, it's a very exciting moment, right? If you start a small business and you want to bring a product or service to the world and you get out there and you start doing it and you hit that beautiful moment where you want to bring a worker in, I think it's a really monumental and important moment in a small business's journey, right? Because you're not only scaling and growing your business, but you are actually starting to impact other people's lives or community. You're giving other people opportunity for employment or to support. I think it's this daunting sometimes scary, sometimes uncertain, but also super exciting moment in the life cycle of a small business. And then it just, assuming the business grows, it just goes on and on from there. So where does Gusto come in? We're here really to support small and medium-sized businesses. We're here to have their back in these complex kind of areas. And a lot of these areas are things of compliance, right? You mentioned payroll. So Gusto helps running payroll for employees. It also allows you to provide payment for other types of workers as well, like contractors. Another part, which you mentioned, tax filing. Gusto takes care of calculating and filing your payroll taxes for you and making sure you have the information you need in that process. Another really important part of the payroll life cycle that probably isn't top of mind for most small businesses. I would say over the last couple of years also, Melissa, there's really been a rise in the gig economy, right? There's a lot of companies that are looking to hire contractors, probably domestically and internationally as well. And Gusto has flexibility and ability to support that process as well, which gives the small business the power to make those choices, right? You know your business best. You know what you need at that life cycle of your business. Now, I can give a specific example too in that I have a really good friend who's a woman entrepreneur. She's a florist. She started her business literally out of her home, out of maybe it was her garage or her downstairs living room, making flowers for folks in the neighborhood. And then she scaled. She started providing services for weddings and different corporate events. And she had these types of decisions to make, right? When do I need to engage support? How do I pay them? Do I need somebody full-time or do I need somebody just when I have an event? It's not always predictable. And so Gusto services in payroll, in filing taxes, in being able to support those different kinds of workers allows for somebody like my friend to have the services to make the choices that are best for her and take that compliance and steps off of her because we're there to have her back and other small businesses back in those kinds of situations. Another area that just want to highlight because I think it's so important is around health benefits and just benefits in general. If you want to engage talent, if you want to retain talent and be a place that really builds also whatever kind of culture and opportunities you want for your own team, as you're building your team, there's a lot of really great things that can be done with benefits administration for small businesses when they're ready to do that. And Gusto provides services in those spaces and health benefits and other kinds of benefits. So as businesses grow, their services are available to them as they grow their own staff.
Love that. Now, a common question that comes up for me, I hear from my clients, is when you are dealing with the difference between a consultant or a contractor and an employee. Can you explain, especially during the seasonal times, you're bringing people in, perhaps on a full-time or part-time basis, only during the holiday seasons or busier area or times of your business, you're hiring internationally. That is another one. The world has become a very global environment. So quite often, people are bringing in talent from other countries. So how is it that an entrepreneur can navigate through these special circumstances?
A really wonderful question. It's probably one a lot of us have also just read around in the news as the states have even grappled with these questions around how do you, we hear this term classifying workers, right? And also the one that comes with it, which is misclassifying workers, right? Which is thinking about, is somebody independent contractor or employee? How do I choose? What do I think about? And also, as you mentioned, it definitely is something that can cause stress because misclassifying worker could lead to issues with that person in particular, legal disputes, fines. It's just something a small business definitely doesn't want to step into, even inadvertently, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do we think about that? If it gets to the heart of it and you're thinking about the technical area of what you're thinking you're doing with together with that person, the key consideration is whether the business has the right to control the detail of how that worker spends their time. Are there special benefits that are more employee type benefits? Also thinking about getting to the heart then of what they're doing. I'll come back to my example with my florist because it was so relevant in all of this. She doesn't necessarily need somebody that comes in that has a very, very unique set of skills that comes in and works with her all the time that is there. She might need someone that just comes in at a specific wedding on a specific time that has their own thing that they're doing that she contracts to come in and support her, bring in vases or do certain kinds of decorations and other things. Those are the kinds of things. And this comes deeply back into first and foremost, getting to the heart of the needs of what your business needs at that time, which is going to change, of course, over time. As with my friend, it's going to change as she grows. So how can you get into understanding what that means? There's a few different ways. One, which is there's actually a lot of really great resources out there because so many businesses have to deal with this. I can give one example. There's a women's business center which is actually sponsored and funded by the Small Business Administration, that has a large community, I think about 150 nationwide, organization for small business women owners that will help you from everything from your business plan all the way to peer-to-peer advice. And obviously, that doesn't mean that you have a staff of lawyers sitting there giving you legal advice, but these are people that have lived through it, gone through it, and can help also point you to other resources. Obviously, if you're really looking to staff up, there is a moment probably in every small business's life cycle where I would say talking to an attorney to help advise you as you scale is helpful, right? Because these are so nuanced and they're so, so fact-based. It truly depends on what is that person doing for you? How are they working for you? What kind of skills they're bringing in? What kind of equipment you're giving them? There's all these different really factual things, and a professional can really help be that partner for you as you're navigating that as a small business.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And just to clarify, because a lot of my listeners are Canadian-based, most of them are US-based, Gusto is only offered in the States. Is that correct?
Well, we have international contractor payments. That is offered, as the word sounds. We do allow for contractor payments internationally. But mm-hmm. if we're talking about core payroll, we're focused in the United States, but we are there is definitely, if you've seen a recent partnership that we have, we are looking at employer of record services that will be offered internationally.
Oh, really? Okay. Just to clarify for my Canadian listeners, the contractor consultant, the tax treatment of that and whether they qualify as payroll like employees or contractors is very different from the US. So if you feel a little confused listening to this podcast, rest assured that a lot of what you're doing can still be covered under contractors, but I highly recommend that you check with your CPA or lawyer. So what are the common mistakes that small business owners make? What common mistakes do you often see?
Absolutely. And I would say I would almost even rephrase with learnings, right? Because I think every time we make, in all walks of our life, we stumble on something. And then it actually helps us build our business better, even though at the moment it hurts and it doesn't feel good. And it feels like a mistake. So one area of what I would say is a watch out to really think about is around contracting. So if you think about something that can really drive your revenue as a small business, help you serve your customers, set expectations for your employees, it's how you contract. In fact, in a lot of business areas, you can't even grow your business if you're not willing to sign agreements to do those things. So how do we think about that? What kinds of watch outs or things could exist with contracting? One, which is it's very, very easy, especially as a small business. You may not have all the bandwidth. You may not have all the resources. You may not have the funding to actually get in and hire an attorney or deal with every contract individually. So one thing that I've seen small businesses do is really struggle to look at each individual contract and try to negotiate them on their own. Instead, what they could do, they could take a step back and say, what is the thing that I am doing over and over again? I am selling bread. I am my friend that's a florist. I'm doing deals with venues, or I'm providing certain kinds of other service or products to customers. Get to that heart, and you know your business best. Get to the heart of the thing and create a form for that thing that is repeatable, that gets to the heart of your bottom line, that gets to the heart of how and when you're paid, that gets to the heart of what you're building or providing. And invest in that form. Because if you can invest in that form, then you don't have to spend the money and the resources and frankly, the stress of negotiating and renegotiating with everybody else's contract. You can offer that up. It becomes not only a better part of your service because folks feel more streamlined and supported as you partner with them, but also lets you control the narrative better. And so what are some examples of things you should think about in that contract? One, I would say really at the heart of small businesses is your payment terms. I will get back to my friend again, because I think it's another great example. She often does services for venues and she had to buy flowers, very expensive vases, decorations. And the terms in the contracts these venues give her often say, you're not going to get paid for 30 days until after the event. Well, as a small business, that's really difficult to carry that cost, because she now had to pay for all of that. And she had to wait another 30 days after to make not only the money for her services, but back the money she paid. And I think that is not unique to her business. I think we see that in a lot of businesses where you have to front that money. So really making sure that you're putting in provisions that get you a down payment or paid the day of the service or as quickly or in the way that works for your business to make sure you can control your cash flow.
Sorry, I have to interject right here because that is such a valuable point because it affects so much for your cash flow. And the idea of putting all that cash up front and not getting anything until 30 days after the service date seems ridiculous to me.
I agree. It's very painful for her because she is just scaling her business in the beginning. Uh-huh. Every moment matters. Every dollar matters. As you probably know, and I've heard probably from lots of folks, Melissa, that the two probably most valuable resources in the beginning or at most times a business grows is that time and money. And both of those things are impacted here.
Absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So let's go into tip number two, because these are great.
Absolutely. So the other one, this gets a little bit to the heart of things I think about, obviously, as a lawyer, very often is your liability. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So this is, again, one of those things that is very, very factual, right? Where are the situations where, let's say you're selling a product, where somebody could say, because your product broke or something went wrong, you now owe me money as a result, or might owe lots of money to even third parties if that product continues to be used by other people. Also, where could you potentially be guaranteeing a product that maybe you shouldn't be thinking about guaranteeing? Also, it can go the other way. Potentially, maybe you are buying something that's such an important part of your product that if that thing breaks, your product won't work correctly, and you want to make sure the other party is responsible. So when you think about liability, it's really about thinking about who's responsible for different parts of what you're buying, selling, building. And how do you, in a most fair and reasonable way, and a way to protect your business and your customers, allocate that risk? And there's a very common statement that lawyers often say and that folks in my industry often say about, there's never a perfect winner on both sides of a contract, right? It's a negotiation and it's very fact-based. So I would start with really trying to sit down and think and even maybe write down, what are those things that I absolutely, if this happens, it would really hurt my business. It would cause pain to my business, loss to my business, or hurt my customers or hurt my reputation. Those are the things that you want to make sure are really clear in the contract, that you're either not taking on too much liability or also making sure others are promising you things you can rely on that you need to build your business.
I love that. And I often speak, don't underestimate the value of legal advice.
Absolutely.
There for a reason.
Absolutely. And I think you can get through all of the legal language of it if you just think about it really, really practically on what you need for your business and what is it that you care about to make sure is most protected as you're building and creating something awesome mm-hmm. and amazing for your business. The next one I have, Melissa, if you'll bear with me, is maybe a little technical or tactical, but I think it's really, really important because I've seen a lot of small businesses and businesses in general kind of not pay closely attention, get burned by this one, which is your right to terminate the contract.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, your contract will always have a provision that talks about how you can say goodbye, how the other party can say goodbye, and you'll see in there an ability to leave for any reason you want or an ability to leave for what we talk about as cause, but it really means something went wrong. Somebody did something they weren't supposed to do on the contract or broke a law or did something else. And again, this comes down to what are you doing and really, really understanding your business. So I would say in almost all circumstances, you don't want to sign a contract. Probably not the best idea in most circumstances to sign a contract that lasts forever without ever being able to get out because business is dynamic, life is dynamic, things may change. You want to have some flexibility to think about. And I would ask yourself those questions. What flexibility do I need? Do I maybe want to go with another vendor next year? Do I potentially want to work with multiple vendors? And I'm still learning. I'm just a small business. I want to build my business. I want to learn. Also, on the other hand, oh my goodness, is this a service that if they terminate, if this other party terminates, my business will shut down. And if they can leave any time upon very short notice to me, I won't have enough time to find somebody else to actually be able to provide the service that I need. If you're a donut shop and this is your supplier of sugar, probably you don't want them to be able to give you a couple days notice because that will be really hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think getting to the termination is, again, giving yourself the flexibility you need, knowing your business, and also being really real that you don't know what you don't know. Things may change. And so you want to build in some amount of flexibility for yourself and never kind of gloss over this provision because it's the thing that gives you that flexibility that is so, so valuable as you're building and pivoting in your business cycle.
Such an important tip. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Melissa, let me share two more I think are also really, really important and also get to the practical heart of building your business, because a contract should really be a tool that helps you build your business. It should be a tool that gives you the ability to have predictability, to bring in revenue, to plan, potentially if you plan to raise money or bring capital at some point. It's such an important tool. So what else should we think about? One area to think about seems simple, but I've seen it fall through so many times, which is really carefully read the terms around what you're buying and selling. I can't tell you how many times I've read a contract where a business partner, somebody I'm working with says, oh yes, this is what's in there, don't worry. And when you really read it, it doesn't say that. So yes. Things like, how quickly am I going to get the services? Do I have a turnaround that I need? What happens if the products come in broken at that time? How do I return them? How do I get new ones? What does that mean for the financial terms? Did the really clear description, and I would say here, clarity is your friend. Ambiguity is not going to help you in most situations, because you want to really understand what you're buying, what you're selling, what services you're getting, so you can depend on that and you can use that reliably to scale and grow. So
that's
really
a good point. Yes. And so overlooked. Often very overlooked. So these are really valuable tips.
Really, really, really important. And again, I would say this is where having a form can be extremely helpful, because if you're doing it from scratch every time, and if you're in a business that's very heavy contracting and you're relying on relationships with third parties all the time, you're spending all of a sudden so much of your precious time and overhead on these contracts. So if you invest upfront to write that form, it might actually help you to go kind of slow down to go fast, so to speak.
Definitely worth the investment.
Yes, I agree. And something I always love to get this feedback from small business owners I know that we've talked to in my broader community and my family and in customers, it's a real pain point. So focusing on these areas are so helpful. And the last one I would say, also tactical, but it's a thing you hope you never have to read, but if you do, it's important, which is attorney's fees. So if you end up in a dispute with somebody, and we hope that doesn't happen, but let's say it does happen, and if you prevail, you can actually get back your attorney's fees if there's a provision in the contract that says the prevailing party could get back attorney's fees. And so that gives you a much higher chance, if you're in a dispute and you prevail, to recoup the costs. And anyone who has been in litigation also has probably experienced that attorney fees can be very substantial and very significant. Don't pay attention to, because usually when you're signing a contract, you're in a good place. But if things go sideways, it becomes extremely important.
Yeah, that is probably one of the most valuable tips. They're all very valuable, but for sure, when people are in litigation, those attorney fees really eat up everything. And having that as provision in your contract is so smart to insert.
Thank you, Melissa. I would say that with contracting, there's so many terms we haven't even talked about. My final kind of global tip is start with writing down what are the things that I really care most about practically and matter for my business. And those are the things you should most prioritize in your contract.
That has been really amazing. I love these tips. They're so valuable. And I highly recommend listeners to pay attention to these tips and seek out the legal advice. I mean, I know a lot of small business owners are like, I want to save money. I don't want to have that cash outlay to get legal advice, but it is so worth it. If you ever need to be covered, that legal advice will have like an ROI, immeasurable, definitely of value. So we've had a really great conversation here. Is there anything that you'd love to leave listeners with as we part?
Absolutely. And thank you for that opportunity, Melissa. I would leave listeners to, as you're scaling your business, as you're starting your business, you're going to come across so many interesting and sometimes real challenges, really exciting problems to solve, areas of compliance and requirements that probably seem daunting. And I would say really seek out resources, seek out mentors. You are not alone. There are local communities, there's industry groups, there's service providers, there's organizations that are here to help you, both being a peer and more informal and mentoring and how did I do it, to actual services that are here to have your back and to make things easier for you. And investing in those services, exactly to your point, Melissa, investing in those services is something that will really stand with you as you grow. They will lower your risk. They'll help you scale. And so find those services, find those things. There's things that are available online and there's things that are available also in your local communities. And you don't have to always reinvent the wheel. Starting a business is so exciting and can feel very lonely at times, and you're not alone. Really take advantage of those services, that network, and those people that can help you with those really tough questions and make those decisions. But at the end of the day, you know your business best, you love your business, and you will take all those inputs and you will make the best decision for yourself.
All excellent advice. And I do want to note that Gusto also has a really great section on their website for resources as well. We're going to leave the link to that in the show notes so you can check it out and contact them if you need their services. So thank you very much for joining us today. And I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you, Melissa. I really enjoyed speaking about small businesses and to speak to you as well. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the She Means Profit podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, I invite you to hit subscribe and leave an honest review. The more reviews we can get, the more business owners we can help.